Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature. I do not have good eye-hand coordination. Now, that's not a super serious problem to have, but it has tripped me up a few times along the way. When my sons were very young and playing video games, there was no way I could participate. I couldn't even keep the Super Mario Brothers on the track, let alone win a race. And forget Donkey Kong. No bananas for me. In most video games, you are attempting, when you play, to make it to the next level, up the next flight of steps, or through the door into the next room. And that's the way you gain your points, or coins, or bananas, or whatever. When John Wesley used a house as a metaphor for God's grace, he said that the porch, the front porch, represented God's prevenient grace, the grace that is active around us before we even enter the house. When we claim the faith and walk through the door, we're in. When we're in, we experience justifying grace because of our faith. We're justified in our faith. Okay, we're in. So what then? The multiple rooms of the house represent the ongoing work of grace in our lives. It doesn't stop there. We don't accept Jesus and then just stand still. We move on. We gain maturity. We grow in wisdom and the love of God, room after room, experience after experience. Long ago, God came to us incarnate in the flesh. He came as the divine Christ Jesus. He was with us, explained things to us, and made this promise to us while he was here. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him because he lives with you and will be with you. That's from the Gospel of John. Jesus made that promise while he was still here. God is not a duality. God is in three persons, a holy trinity. And the third person of God is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is Jesus continuing to be present with us, just as he promised in John 14. I believe the world today needs this. They need to embrace. People need to embrace a theology of spiritual growth that will help them with the harsher realities of life in this world. Now, a lot of people have given up any interest whatsoever in their own spiritual formation or deepening of their character. They only live life on the surface, and then they wonder why life is so unsatisfying. Or people might, on the other hand, exhaust themselves in church work, but then realize that they really don't feel any different inside. They're just as impatient as they always were, just as anxious or fearful as they were before they did all this hard work doing good. And then there are others who don't even try to do anything. They've been saved by grace, and now they sit there paralyzed in their church chairs, just waiting for heaven. No forward movement, no increased depth to their spiritual life. We are so used to dysfunction that dysfunction seems normal. It's the only way we know how to function at all. But here's the good news. Here is the good news. Jesus promised more. There is more because he is with us and in us. And because of that, we do move forward in our faith and we move towards total transformation. We want to become more holy because he is holy. John Wesley would say we are becoming more sanctified as we experience all the opportunities God gives us to receive more grace. The opportunities we're given to remember and rejoice in God's great mercy and love for us. We experience sanctifying grace each time Trent leads us in worship to this table where the grace emanates from it for us. We are graced whenever we meet God in prayer and seek him there, whenever we discover God in his holy word at a Bible study or in Sunday school, when we see God in the faces of the people around us or in people's hands stretched out toward us out of their need. This is the sanctification offered to us to perfect us. It makes us perfect in love. Sanctifying grace is what enables me to be better and to do better. It transforms me from what I am to what God wants me to be. And it equips me for being a follower of Jesus Christ. Our task is to take the reality of our with God life, our spirit-led life, to take the reality of it out there into our work, into our neighborhood, into the darkness that surrounds other people who are crying, cursing that darkness, and wondering if there will ever be any light. My Tuesday morning Bible study is called Image Bible Study, and it's called that for a reason. Our theme verse is Romans 8:29, which reminds us of our need to be transformed into the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. And occasionally in class, not very often, but sometimes I'll refer to that verse and remind them that this transformation into being more Christ-like is our goal. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to reflect his image. And I use that word a lot. And I realized a couple of weeks ago, yeah, I do use the word reflect. And I've never used the term image bearers in reference to us as believers. But that is exactly what we are, all of us. We are image bearers, people intended to carry the image of Jesus into the world, to make him visible to others. And this is the reality of our with God life, being an image bearer. And we can only do that if we remain in that process, continuing process of sanctification, becoming more holy. We can only do that if we continue to move forward and go deeper into the spiritual life. If we don't move forward, the image we bear will begin to fade. The light of Christ within us will dim. Jesus wants us heart and soul, not just mind and body. Someone commented once that the greatest difficulty in conversion is to win someone's heart for God. Well, the greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. Heart work is hard work. Our scripture passage today warned us not to conform to the patterns of this world. And you know, our world is full of fear-based narratives, things that are designed to provoke our fear and make us react out of fear. This causes all kinds of isms and phobias. You understand what I mean? Isms, racism, phobias, xenophobia, homophobia, isms and phobias. We don't need that. Our world seems polarized rather than united. We don't need that. Our world needs, this is what the world needs, more image bearers who will be countercultural individuals, who will live and speak in such a way that mercy is extended to everyone. Civility conquers angry rhetoric. Compassion reaches out to the poor. Plain old honest speech overcomes deceitful maneuvering. Gentleness and kindness become our rule of life. And by golly, love reigns over everything. Isms and phobias, they are a problem in our culture. And there is one ism that has become problematic, more problematic in the last 30 or 40 years. And it's come to the point where it now seems to define the age that we live in. And that's narcissism. It seems to be in the very air we breathe. Total self-absorption. Exaggerated sense of entitlement. Extreme self-centeredness and self-obsession. If we can't subdue our narcissistic tendencies, we'll never be good at being image bearers. Because you see, Jesus was the opposite of a narcissist. The exact extreme opposite of narcissism is Jesus. Philippians 2 says, Jesus emptied himself and gave up all divine rights so he could be a humble servant. Now, we may never love as perfectly as he did, but we can keep on moving toward it. If we seek the Spirit and allow it to fill us up, we will grow in grace and we can grow into his holy likeness. Through the ages, there have been people who did this. They discovered a life of righteousness and peace and joy. They were people who found that they actually could be transformed into image bearers no matter what their circumstances was. And we can go way back to people like St. Francis of Assisi, or we can look more recently at people like Mother Teresa. And you can look closer to home and think of people in your own life who remained image bearers in the toughest of times. You know who they are. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, you will be transformed to bear his likeness. Going back to the incarnation for just a minute, God was in the flesh of Jesus, and now the Holy Spirit wants to be in us, in our flesh. Wow. It seems like when God wants to give out of God's self, either flesh is infused with spirit or spirit gets coated with flesh. Either way, it seems that God's will is incarnational living. It's up to us to be that incarnate spirit of God, to be Jesus' continued presence and ministry on this earth. And the reason we might have trouble with this is probably because we've not been able to recognize and enjoy all the incarnations everywhere and around us all the time. Poet Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote, and I believe this has been quoted here in church before, "For Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father through the features of men's faces." I want to be one of the 10,000 places where Christ plays. I want to have my heart transformed by God's sanctifying grace. I want to be an image bearer. I don't want to reflect the image of Jesus as much as I want to carry it straight out there into the darkness of the world. So as we keep roaming through the rooms of the Grace House, we keep coming back to this room, this place of connection that offers us this table. This table of grace where we can feast and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So as you approach the table today, ask God for a purified heart, a renewed mind, an enlarged soul, and the holy strength to make you an image bearer. Thank you, Jesus, and amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.